Hey, hey, everything's great. Robin, Richard, Richard Spade.
That's the old theme song.
That's, is that right? What's the current one? Looking for a sign. Looking for a table set for fun. Set the alarm to exactly 9:30.
That's the Kings of Con theme song. That's from way back.
What's our podcast theme song? Sing our. Well, actually, I guess just play it.
Hey, hey, what's going on? Rob and Rich are the Kings of Con.
All right, that one.
Exactly.
I like the thing hitting you on the head. That's funny.
Oh yeah, that's what you only see on our YouTube videos, which haven't been made.
They're coming.
Months.
I'm telling you. So for Patreon folks who follow the podcast and have been clamoring for where are the videos, you're not wrong to wonder. But we have now outsourced that to a professional because Rob and I are not professionals. Really, that falls on me. I'm the video guy, and I just haven't had the bandwidth to pull it off. So we farmed it out, Rob. It's been farmed out.
Right. But what happens to when he makes it? It doesn't. Yeah. Does it have that?
It's gonna go on Patreon.
Does it have the?
Yeah, it's got the title. It's got the credits. That little title song. Yeah. Huh.
Is your internet unstable? Or is that my internet that's unstable?
I think it's yours because mine seems to be fine.
I don't know. It just told me your internet's unstable. I beg to differ.
Well, if it told you, if it literally said your internet's unstable, you didn't say your buddy's internet is unstable.
I honestly, as soon as I said it, my first response was like, no, it's not. It's his. It thinks it's me.
Maybe your internet has confused us like so many other people have done in
exactly.
the past. What if your internet popped back up like, oh, you're not rich? Oh, sorry.
Or it's like, wait, is this Brandon?
No. It'd be like, it pops up, your internet is unstable. By the way, loved you and old Henry.
Which, by the way, we have Showtime now because whatever. It has a couple.
Somebody in the house got a pilot? Woo!
No, because literally I got the free 30-day subscription and then I'm going to cancel it in 30 days.
Yeah, I get it.
Because I'm cheap like that. But it has this thing on it which says live TV. We can see basically what Showtime is broadcasting live if you have Showtime on your DirecTV or whatever. I don't have that. I just have the Showtime app on my Apple TV, if this is making any sense to anyone. Anyway, when I clicked on it last night on the East Coast, it gives you East Coast and West Coast feed. And the East Coast feed, I was like, that's old Henry.
You've already seen it, though.
I know, but old Henry was playing on Showtime. I don't know if you knew that.
Nice.
Did you know that?
I knew it was out there in the world. I did not know where exactly.
Well, for those of you watching this video, so are the videos ever released whole?
I think they're pretty whole. I think basically Tyler goes through and does like a spot check to be sure that you didn't say something so wholly offensive that it needs to be airlifted out.
Make sure my pants are on. So they will see that just now during my old Henry speech that you were checking your phone.
Yes, okay. But here's what I need people to know.
All right.
I am in the middle of a work day.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm receiving texts that apply to the production meeting I start in 45 minutes.
Right.
But Rob's not wrong. On this phone.
Yes. For the Alex will know this, but the last two Mondays have been solo Monday morning mop-ups.
Yeah.
And that's because Richard is hard at work in Vancouver.
Hold on, the machete's calling. I'm going to take this call. You just talk to the people.
Machete.
Okay, and Richard is...
Hello?
Okay, but the truth of the matter is...
I sure do. Hey, Rob, just make yourself entertaining. I got to take this call real quick with the family.
Can you mute it?
I just did mute it, but now I got to come back on to tell you I muted it.
Okay, got it.
Hey, how are you, buddy? good.
This is
excited
good.
About school.
So Rich is always kind of hard to get a hold of, but when he's working, it's impossible. I mean, it is impossible. And like right now is a great example. We're trying to have this podcast, and you know, he gave me a 45-minute window, which, by the way, is before my day normally starts. It's pretty early for me. I've got my coffee, and you know, my hair looks crazy. I feel crazy, and he's got work texts happening the whole time. Okay, that's fine. And then in the middle of that, JC calls and says, "Do you have time to talk to the boys?" He's like, "I sure do." which, hey, in the list of what Rich, you know, Rich's priorities, family's first, and why shouldn't it be? Families should be first, always. Family's first with me too. Family first, kids first. And then work. You know, then it's work. And then maybe it's his pets. No, I think third would be like staying up on current events, reading his news, checking his Twitter. And then fourth might be his pets. Fifth would be like the guy next door, what he's doing. Sixth would be whatever random thing is in the room that's catching his attention, whatever the shiny thing is.
And I'm back.
And then me. There he is.
So tell me all the stories. I can listen to the podcast.
Yeah, listen, there hasn't been a podcast you haven't listened to. That's why you know the theme song so well.
Hey, Jack Hall, I sang theme songs from 2 and 4 years ago.
I know, that's because you used to listen to it. So, Rich, how's work going?
Good. Up here in Vancouver, Canada, working on a television program called Kung Fu. Directing the 12th penultimate, if you will, episode, because there's 13 episodes in their season, of season 2.
Great.
So episode 12 of season 2, and having a lovely time, as always, with the good people up here at Kung Fu.
Wait, so season 2 is only going to be 13 episodes?
Yeah, season 1 was also only 13.
Oh, okay.
They get picked up and given 13. That's sort of how it's gone so far.
That's great. That's awesome. You have good guest stars in this episode?
Very few. It's mainly because it's so close to the end of the season.
Sure.
It's mainly the main cast.
Right.
Because the big plot is coming together.
Right.
And the guest stars we do have are guest stars that have been dotting through the season, you know?
That's cool. Anyone you know or people you've worked with before?
No. All the guest stars are new to me.
Cool.
So it'll be lovely to meet them and...
So that's going to be 2 seasons of Kung Fu down.
Yeah, man. They're by, you know, mid-March, they will have 2 seasons of Kung Fu. And this season of Kung Fu launches March 9th on the CW for
great
our listeners who are fans of or have yet to see the show, Kung Fu. Great show, especially not just great for the action and the drama, but it's a show for the family. I think, you know, almost everybody in the house can enjoy it, and it's culturally interesting, looking at the Chinese culture in San Francisco and modern-day San Francisco and what that's like. And it's just, you know, unique across the board and a really well-executed
show.
Yeah,
and the actors are great.
They're great.
She's awesome.
She's awesome and is doing her. All of them are doing most of their own fighting. I mean, obviously, there's a great stunt team doing some great stuff, but it's not like, you know, in the 80s where it's like, put up your dukes, and then
right.
the guy leaves the
right.
set and goes back to his trailer for a couple of smokes
right.
while the stunt guys battle it out. They really get in there, and they all know the choreography, and they all do these fights, and we use them as much as we can. And then we have this fantastic stunt team that comes in. The fights are great and super dynamic and interesting and unique on this show.
Great.
They do a good job of sort of bridging the superhero with the just good old-fashioned hero.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's something grounded about it that makes the fights even more spectacular because you're mesmerized by what they are doing in a real-world situation, not a superhero situation.
And now is Supernatural alum, writer alum, Bob Behrens, is he up there or is he down here in L.A.?
He's in Los Angeles. He's co-showrunner. Christina Kim and Bob Behrens run the show, and he's down in Los Angeles, California.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting. I had 26 episodes, and I haven't been on one yet, but I've had one at bat and did not get the role.
Well, in your defense and my defense, the guest star that when they were looking for that guy,
yeah,
the description was a Rob Benedict type.
Sure,
it wasn't Rob Benedict.
Right.
You know, if they're looking for Rob Benedict, right, well, then your phone's ringing.
Right.
Like, that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
A Rob Benedict type,
right,
they're going to go with somebody more like, I don't know, me.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because right. I'm like you, but I'm not you.
Right. No, the what Rich is referring to is the one role that it sounds like I could have played on that show. Wait, Rich, is this knowledge we can say out loud?
Yeah.
Rich was directing that episode. And he went ahead and cast himself. And
I went that direction.
And I would have done the same. So I had no hard feelings at all. I did get an audition for it a few episodes later. Rich was not directing, and radio silence. Never got the call. But it's okay. I've got I had nothing else going on right now. But you know, something will come up.
Listen, we don't know. Bob Behrens may have sprained his dialing finger. We don't know.
Yeah. No one ever really let me know. That's the thing about the acting business, guys. You don't go down the hall and look at the cast sheet to see who got cast. You just don't get the call.
And if you do that, you cry.
And if you know me, you can come to realize that I've picked the absolute worst profession for a personality like me.
Listen, I mean, I love to give you a hard time. But
it sucks.
I don't know a single person, myself included, that doesn't feel like they don't get pistol whipped a couple of times a month.
Yeah.
It's just part of the gig.
Oh, yeah.
You've really got to have an enormous amount of talent and just bottoming out self-esteem to get into the acting business.
It really, honestly, and I'm at this old familiar place. I've been doing this for, almost 30 years. And it's that old familiar place where, like, there's nothing on the horizon and something will happen. So I'm in the auditioning, I'm hustling, I'm, looking for my next job.
Right.
And it gets to the point where, you want to work, you like to work. The other day I got an audition for Fantasy Island. There's a Fantasy Island reboot.
I love Ricardo Montalban.
He's great. He's doing great work. And he's back. He's back.
So watch that.
Yeah, it's a lady is the lead. He's like, I think she's actually supposed to be related to Mr. Roker?
Are you combining Three's Company and...
Yeah, what is it? Mr.
Mr. Rourke.
Rourke, yeah, Mr. Rourke.
And Tattoo,
yeah. So now it's Mrs. Rourke, and I don't know who the Tattoo character became. Anyway... So I'm playing this woman's cat that turns into a human in Fantasy Island. So it's just one of those things where, like, you're already feeling a little bit, you're feeling sensitive.
Less masculine than
exactly.
usual.
Okay, so here's the deal. It's the Fantasy Island reboot. Okay. I need
something to turn on the old turn on the lady. What do you got?
And you're
playing a cat.
You're a cat.
Oh, good.
Okay, I'll do it. So you do it. You do it.
You nail it. You nail it.
You nail it. I went to acting school for acting. Like I said, you don't see a cast list. It just, the phone just doesn't ring. And you feel like an a-hole.
It'll be great if the person who got the job is named like Socks Purrington or something. Like, it's, they're very cat-like already.
I thought you were going to say like Bob Bennington.
Oh, it's
or it's a who's it was, the guy that you always say is my nemesis, although he's not.
I cannot remember his name.
I can play that song.
Look it up.
It's Brecky, Breckenmeyer.
Breckenmeyer.
We wanted Rob Benedict, but we got Breckenmeyer. We wanted Rob Benedict,
not really,
but we got Breckenmeyer.
Anyway, actually, Breckenmeyer did get that role, and he's going to be great. And will it recur? Yes, it will, but that's not a big deal.
Well, I can't wait to see him on Kung Fu. I know he did. I know he did a great job.
Hey, you know, the thing about it is like, that's the thing I think people don't truly understand is like the audition process is throwing darts without anyone telling you where the dartboard is.
Yeah.
You just show up with your dart, take your stance, and hurl a dart.
Right.
And then walk away going, was I near the dartboard? And they never tell you.
Especially now, because it used to be you were in the room, and you could kind of, you know, look, if you could read people, you can kind of tell if you're in the mix or not. And a lot of times the director would be in there, and he'd give you direction. So you could see the dartboard. But now right. You're putting yourself on tape, and you have no idea. You don't even know. You have no idea. Because sometimes they'll give you direction in the room. You're like, hey, you want to sit down for this one, or whatever it is. You're completely...
And it helps.
Yeah, it completely helps. So what I would love to do is be over your shoulder when you're watching audition tapes, now that you're doing that as a director.
Oh, dude, I find it fascinating. And I tell you, I'm a guy, because I'm an actor-friendly director, because I've been there. It's like, if somebody's really good, or two people are really good, and there's any question about who should do what, I have them, you know, on many shows, not just Kung Fu, but on Walker, we did this as well. We have them retape, and I'll like Zoom with them, you know, and do it with them.
That's great.
To give them a shot, man. Like if somebody is close or whatever, and because you want, I mean, it's empirically unfair, the acting process, the audition process.
Yeah.
Because literally it is impossible. To your point, you can't read a room if there's no room.
Right.
You can't read a reaction. There are benefits to self-tape, I feel. Like right now you get an audition. Well, you can prepare it as much as you want. You can shoot it in your own environment. You can do as many takes as you want until you feel like you got what you wanted.
Although, as a student of the theater, it was always really exciting to prepare it to be on in the moment. You have to be on, and you do everything you can. You prepare, you go. It's nerve-wracking as hell. This is easier that way. But I found the process more rewarding, because you prepare for this moment. Either you're like, fuck, I didn't do it, I didn't get it. Or you're like, wow, I knocked it out. But it's that thrill of the moment. You're at the bat, there's a pitcher, you're ready, you know.
Right.
As opposed to taking batting practice with a machine.
100%. And you and I both came up that same path, you know. And
but again, you're a director, so you like the multiple takes. I've done tapes with you. You're good at that.
I like it, but I also I'm an exercise in contradiction, because I like it, but as a director, I also like to see people come in the room.
Yeah,
I like to see them in real life.
Right,
and I like to give direction and see how they take it.
Yeah,
I like to see somebody do it completely wrong, but I know that they clearly have a ton of talent, and have them make a little left turn and end up nailing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's fun to be the director you rarely had.
Yeah.
It's fun to run an audition the way you wish they were always run.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I enjoy that, because I like actors and I like acting and I love watching actors act.
Yeah.
You know, to me, that's the most gratifying part, is watching really talented people be really talented.
Yeah.
And I do use the same people. I try to bring people back. Like if a guest star crushes it, I'll try to bring them back and
that's
do
awesome.
Something else. Because
I wish they were more like you. And, you know, one of these days.
I brought back, Jerry Trimble, who was so good in Supernatural, played Ramiel. I brought him back for a Kung Fu. He came in and did a...
Oh, that's great.
Episode, the last episode I directed. He's just so talented.
Yeah.
And,
he's a lot like me. We're very similar.
Yeah, very similar. Jerry Trimble could break both of us in half by just looking at us.
He's a big guy?
Oh, he's a solid... He's a former MMA guy.
I did not know that. I saw that episode that you did with him in it, too.
Dude, and he did all his own fighting. I never used a stunt guy for any of his fights in that episode.
I did some fighting at the end of Supernatural, you know. There's a whole...
More like squabbling, but yeah.
There was a whole slap sequence that...
But, you know, I feel your frustration. I feel the same thing, especially there's nothing worse. And anybody, I guess, who's applied for a job and felt like they crushed it and the phone's going to ring and had the phone not ring, knows that sense, mm-hmm. knows that moment mm-hmm. of like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I destroyed that.
Yeah.
The worst is, and we've had this, I've had this in the last calendar year, where they call and they're like, okay, you're pinned, which means they got an eye on you,
mm-hmm.
which nowadays in our career used to mean you had a job.
It's just not officially, the offer hasn't been made.
But right. Now they pin five people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Now it's kind of a
yeah.
lazy way of saying, eh, we might.
It's saying you're in the mix. You're in the final mix.
Right. But it's a real mind F from the old days of yeah. a pin meant we're just going to shore up some things and give you a job.
Yeah. They give you the shooting dates, you know, so you're pinned. So the job would shoot from here to here. I go on my calendar and I put a ribbon over those dates. Okay, this is when you're probably going to be yucking it up in, wherever they shoot Fantasy Island. It's like Puerto Rico or something.
You put a ribbon, like an actual physical ribbon?
No, it looks like that in the Apple calendar. If you do like...
Oh, right.
I'm booked
so
out.
So you're still digital.
12 God, to
I thought
the
you were, 20. I saw you out in the, you know, near your wrapping paper right, and right, scissors.
Yeah. That's a fair assessment now. Yeah. My big calendar on the wall and I've got a ribbon.
But they'll tell you you're pinned, and then I had the thing where they call like 3 days before it started, like, hey, are you available? And could you hop on a plane? Like, it was like DEFCON 1. I think we decided that DEFCON 1 was more
correct,
more closer to the moment than DEFCON 4.
Yes,
so it's DEFCON 1. Go, 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 go. And you're like, oh crap, yeah, great. Wow, this came out of nowhere. Yeah. Like this, you know, I thought this was dead, you know, pinned a long time ago. And now you're like, yeah, no, sure. Check with your family and like, oh, yeah, I can make it work. Absolutely. Yeah, no problem. Okay. They're going in a different direction. You're like,
I just got pinned.
Why did they do all that?
Yeah. Don't even tell me. And basically, what they're doing is they're trying to save their own asses because they don't want you to book another job or leave town or whatever it is. They want to say, like, hey, don't go anywhere. We might need you. But, you know, from an actor's point of view, that's why you start to get really belligerent. You're like, well, then book me. You want me so bad.
Yeah.
But, what's tough about that, too, is sometimes if they're really overwhelmed with work, they don't let you know that the pin's gone. And you just don't hear. And you're like, hey, aren't I supposed to start work tomorrow? I've got a ribbon on my wall. It says, I'm starting work tomorrow. And they're like, oh, yeah, let me call. And they're like, yeah, I didn't. The pin's dropped. They're taking
whenever you have to make that call, and you know as well as I do, whenever you have to call your agent, you know it's dead. Anyway out of a sense of, I don't know, morbid curiosity.
Yeah, and I like to know if, like, am I, you know, anymore. It's like I'm, you know, there was a job that I was just up for that, to say I'm up for is a very general term. I made it past a couple rounds, but the only reason I know that is because I kept calling. I'm like, no, you're still in the mix. You're in the mix. It's gone to producers. You're in the mix. They're waiting for studio to weigh in or whatever. And like, you're not in the mix anymore. You know, but I just like to know, like, should I still be hoping or is this, no?
This is where you and I are different because I have to put it out of my mind because it drives me too insane.
Yeah.
To chase the string, it eats at my brain.
Yeah.
I have to sort of separate myself for my own sanity.
Yeah.
Which I think is why I enjoy the self-taping, even though, like you, I'm a man who enjoys an audience and came up through theater and all that stuff, especially if it's comedy. But even drama, like you change your performance based on the audience. I mean, I totally hear you on that.
Yeah.
But there's something about being able to let it go and more zen.
Yeah.
It's a more zen experience for me to send it in, be proud of the work, and let go. Whereas when I'd go in the room, inevitably I would leave that room and I would play it obsessively because mm-hmm. I'm a bit of a type A guy.
Yeah.
No fewer than 50, 60 times in my head.
Yeah.
Going like, oh, did I nail that beat? Should I have done that? She looked a little funny as I walked out the room.
Yeah.
Like, I will replay every microsecond of the experience from the receptionist who does not know who I am or what project I'm reading for saying hello.
Right. Right. No, I feel you.
To me, driving out of the parking lot and the way the security guard gives me a tip of the cap. Like, was that a...
Yeah, yeah.
Quit the business, son, or was that a...
I'm going to be seeing you again.
We'll see you on the jet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Yeah. No, I it was easier for me to let go with those, honestly, because I would beat myself up about stuff, and I get really mad at myself if I knew it didn't go well. I would just get mad at myself.
Yeah.
You fucker. You know, I get so pissed at myself.
Did you ever forget a line in the room?
All the time.
Okay, yeah, because I remember doing that one time, going up on a line, reading for a, this will go back a while, like a Shelley Long pilot. Remember, wow. Shelley Long,
yeah,
was
sure, from Cheers.
Pilot. And I went in there and was doing great and just hit a blank.
Yeah.
You know, just like, and at that point, the comedy's dead, the moment's over.
Yeah.
They, you know, although, see, now that I direct, I know that that wouldn't actually take you out of the running if you had been cruising up to then. In my mind as a young actor, that was it, man. Like, that was it. I remember in the Supernatural days, it wasn't for a comedy, obviously, but a guy came in and totally muffed up his lines, and I said, go back, let's try and just do it again. And he did it again, and we ended up casting him.
Wow.
And he was like, he came to the set, and he's like, dude, I can't believe I got this job. Like, that was, I just totally...
Wow. Yeah. Well,
muffed
again,
the punt.
I feel like you're an exception.
And I said to him, this is not a memorization exercise.
Right.
I said, I could tell you got the character. You did it again.
Exactly.
Your intention was there, your commitment, it all, like, you know, it's a situation that is set up to watch you squirm and fail the audition process.
Yes. But you as an actor know that, and I feel like you're an exception. Now, let me ask you this. When you're watching tapes, are there actors that in their scenes go up on lines? Or
no, not on a tape. Because at that point, you just would stop and do it again.
Do people ever have a script in their hands?
Yes.
They do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, the problem with me is I can't see the script anymore without my glasses.
I don't know. That's rare. What I'm telling you, I'm not saying that's common.
Yeah.
That's very rare.
Because I always memorize for auditions, but sometimes, you know, it's hard because there'll be a lot of lines.
Yeah.
But you're not a script supervisor, so you're not going like, okay, well, he that's not how that line was written or whatever.
No. You don't really care.
Right.
As long as the intent is
exactly
correct.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can kind of tell, you know, that old adage of like, you could tell when they walk in the room. I don't know about that, but you can certainly tell
right
when
away.
They get started.
Yeah.
Again, I'll reference a without saying the role. Specifically, we were reading for somebody for Kung Fu, and the people read on tape and sent it in, and there was much debate back and forth amongst the brass about this person, that person, and none of them picked the person I thought was the obvious choice. And so I just emailed everybody, and I said, look, I know what you're looking for is this turn in the scene, but... And this was a younger character, so these would have been less experienced actors.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I said, but for my money, clearly the most talented person was this person.
Wow.
Did she do exactly what you're talking about? No. But I bet you dollars to donuts if I were in the room and asked her to, she would have. And I think we should go with talent and see if she can nail it on the day. I'm willing to put my experience on that. And they go, okay. So that's who we cast, and she nailed it.
Wow.
But, like, you kind of have to see beyond the ability to go, that's the dartboard and the dart thing. Like,
yeah.
She wouldn't necessarily know to do it a certain way without being told. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Honestly, I just need you to be directing whatever I'm auditioning for, because I feel like you, as an actor, you get it.
I do, and I think acting directors, like Amanda Tapping is probably,
yeah.
I don't know how Amanda cast, but I imagine is with
sure
her
she is, yeah.
massive acting background,
sure.
she's probably very similar.
Sure.
And she's the producing director on Motherland. She's a
yeah.
very accomplished director.
No, look, there are a lot of actor turned directors.
Nope, yeah. It's just Amanda Tapping and myself.
Oh, really, really? Okay.
Yeah, that's it.
I was going to say...
We should get Amanda Tapping on this show. I'm going to say right now, she's a massive talent, super nice...
Never met her.
Supernatural alum.
Maybe I have
you know?
Met her. But yeah, I don't know.
I
don't know her well.
I would bet you've met her in passing.
I feel like now that I say that out loud, I feel like I did. I might have been visiting.
I mean, I haven't spent a ton of time with her, but there's just she's just somebody I have admired from afar for a long time.
And now she's on, what show is she?
She's the producing director on Motherland.
It's amazing.
Which is the show that she was in. You know, behind hiring Jerry Wanick and his team to be the production
That's
designer.
That's what it is. And who else
production
is on?
Production design team.
How do I know that show?
Actor wise, I don't know. I don't know who's on.
No, but like, who? What? What's it on? What's what is Motherland?
Oh man, I don't know. I think it's because we just talked to
Wanick about it, eh?
Jerry Wanick. He's on our other podcast.
Yeah, no spoilers, but we talked to Jerry Wanick.
Is that a spoiler?
No.
To say
no.
Okay.
I don't think so.
This is, by the way, a good time to sidebar.
Yeah.
We need to create a commercial, and you don't have to do it this time. I know you're a busy guy, but we should create a commercial for our other podcast.
Oh, yeah.
That we run in this podcast. Because Rob Benedict and I, after slogging through our own podcast that we love doing, this one right now, have been hired to be the face and voice of a different podcast called Supernatural Then and Now, a rewatch of all 327 episodes of the CW hit show Supernatural.
That's right. And it's a real podcast.
Yeah, it's really trippy to do a podcast that actually has people who know what they're doing and give a crap.
Yeah. But yeah, it's we're going through the whole series, show by show, and for many of the episodes we've never seen them before. So we get to
It's really we like you are watching for the first time, or we unlike you are watching for the first time, depending on where you fall.
Yeah,
but it doesn't matter if you've never seen the show. You can watch the episodes, then join us for the podcast. We don't watch the show during the podcast. It's not that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you watch it, then you come on, you learn something about it.
Yeah.
Watch it, come on, learn something about it.
Yeah.
And we have cool people. We've had Jared. We've had Jensen. We'll have them again. They're going to dot in and out of the series. But we also have executive producers, producing directors, composers.
Yeah. That actually worked on the show, and we get to talk about that episode that we're talking about.
Guest stars who appeared on it eons ago.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
Amy Acker.
So it's Amy Acker is exactly what I was thinking. So we've had some great people. Everybody needs to come check out Supernatural Then and Now and see what Rob Benedict and Richard Speight and our producer, writer, everybody else-er, Steve Hine, is doing.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Steve Hine, little Hollywood trivia. College buddies with Eric Kripke.
There you go. Yeah. Hence the connection.
Exactly.
That might have been the reason we got the job.
Huh. Might have been the reason why Steve got the job.
True. True, true. Speaking of podcasts, this is our 48th episode of the Kings of Con podcast.
Ooh, what are we going to do for our big 50th? We've got to do something special. Yeah. Maybe it'll be like a Hank extravaganza.
Ooh, yeah.
With Hank,
right.
Paul Fitzgerald's pants,
yes,
and many others.
Yeah, that's actually a good idea. If we like line up Hank, you know, we'll have people drop in.
We should have a cocktail theme.
Yes.
Because it used to be, and I'm not saying Robbie and I have to do this. It used to be during the original lockdown one.
This is,
and my guess is Richard Speight.
Pre-50, right?
Right.
50 is just this one, but before this podcast when we did, my guess is Richard Speight.
I mean, I think we were having mezcal almost every time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Or something,
sure.
Cocktail.
At least one. I remember making my second drink as you were talking.
Here's what I think we should do. I think we should do, man, this is going to rattle your cage.
Okay.
But I think we need to both be in the same room over there at Fartoon Studios.
Okay.
And then, like, some guests can show up, like Hank, because he's a local.
In the room with us?
And then we could, yeah. And then we could Zoom other people. Like,
yeah.
You could make it a whole thing.
Yeah. Although it might be hard to record three people in here, but I can record two. Anyway, but...
Can't we put him downstairs? And as we could all be in the same...
Sure,
like-
sure. Because I think it would be fun if we're you and me and Tina, and then we're welcoming people into the Zoom, right? So it's like appearance by Hank, appearance by...
We've said Hank, by the way, five times. Hank may not be a part of this.
Like, no.
He may say no.
No, he's definitely got to do it. We can get Paul... Who else do you think we could get of the people we've had?
I think we should see, we could have Tom Ellis.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, back. Yeah. Be nice to get
Tom
it.
Tom likes to be social, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Who's going to want to celebrate our big 5-0? I mean, just the list is...
Who's going to be happy for us?
I was going to say the list is endless, but there's definitely an end to the list.
The list is end.
You know who won't be a guest? Not featuring the machete.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get a news from the world segment from the gangster.
Nice. That's nice. You know. Yeah. That'd be fun if he could get on. Could he get on by himself and zoom in with you here, and we get Frank to zoom in?
if we set it up and he just has to click a link, yeah.
That's funny.
Well, I my long pause is really
how do we get
misaimed, because he's probably more more technically savvy than I am.
Well, I think it's going to be about sort of whoever's like machete would have to sort of be in on like Frank. It's time.
Well, that ain't going to work.
Yeah, that's not going to work at all.
The machete is I'm Steve Jobs compared to the machete, which is interesting because he's a COO of a company and has worked in games and online and media for 20 years.
Yeah, you'd think that that'd be something that she'd be pretty good at.
You think incorrectly. Real quickly, before we go, I know you're itching to go.
I'm not itching to go. I was looking at other stars we could have on our.
Well, while you're thinking about that, Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb here and say, if not the best, one of the best halftime shows I've ever seen.
So great. So great. I liked it so much better than the ones we've had the last several years. And not just because these are entertainers from more our era.
Yeah.
But I thought it was great. They just nailed it. And you know what I liked about it? I was telling someone the other day, they didn't have to cut to the audience enjoying it. I feel like there have been sometimes it was like, it's like a concert, it's like a band, and they show the sort of fake crowd they've got up front, like really rocking out. Like, you didn't need that. You know what I mean? You just see Dre and Snoop doing their thing, and you're like, you're feeling it.
Dude, I felt like this was the Broadway play, like hip hop, the Broadway show. It was, the production value was unbelievable.
Yeah.
The production value is unbelievable. The dancers, the whole thing, the camera work, the colors, like, if you didn't think Dr. Dre was the coolest man on the planet before this, like,
oh yeah,
he's got to be up there with one, like, and obviously Snoop, but Dre just anchoring the whole thing.
Yeah,
and he's such a cool dude.
Yeah, and playing the piano,
dude, playing the piano.
Yeah,
and my knowledge of hip hop is not super deep. I'll tell you right now, but the room of people I was with, their knowledge is the cast of Kung Fu. I was watching the Super Bowl with all them, and they all knew everybody and every song, and flipped out at the drummer, who apparently is a big time hip hop guy.
Anderson Paak, yeah.
Which I was like, oh, I don't know who that is, but that's awesome.
I was
so, like, they just had people sprinkled in, and I thought a lot about Billy Moran, who I think is one of the coolest looking dudes on the planet. The guitar player was one of the coolest looking dudes I've ever seen.
Did he look like
playing
Billy?
Guitar? He just looked like, he reminded me of that sort of Billy ilk of like just cool looking dudes.
Huh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
He didn't look like Billy per se, except for he had sort of Billy's confident air, you know.
It's funny.
And it was awesome.
When you say that, I still think of Billy as the Billy that I knew 20 years ago before he got, went to the Hollywood machine and got all slick.
What was he like 20 years ago?
Oh, man, he had the biggest afro.
Dude, I love that afro.
Yeah, and glasses. He was a bit more nerdy cool.
But nerdy cool is like cool now.
Yeah, but like, he would have been like, you know,
Weezer,
exactly.
Yeah.
And we wanted to be Weezer. We were sort of aiming for that Weezer realm. And now I think aiming for the Weeze. And now he's a little bit more, you know, sexy. Billy's sexy.
Dude, I mean, Billy is sexy.
But he never really had the sex appeal then that he has now. I didn't have it then, and I don't have it now.
I think you were smart to skip that phase.
Yeah.
Because then they can't say, no one can say, well, he's lost it, because you never had
never
it.
Never had it.
I said that to somebody recently. They were talking about aging actors and actresses, and I said, well, look, I don't want to pat myself on the back here, but one way to never lose your looks is to never have them in the first place. You know? It's a parallel. It's a straight line all the way through.
There's a line in the movie Bottle Rocket, where at the end of the Bottle Rocket when they're...
I know what line you're talking about.
When he's like, he can't pick the lock. And he's like, I don't have it, man. I don't have it. He's like, did you ever have it?
Dude, I think about that all the time. He goes, I don't have it. I don't have it. And Wilson goes, did you ever have it, man? Oh, it's so great.
Yeah.
Well, Bobbo, I have to go do a production meeting for Kung Fu.
Okay.
Television program on the CW, premiering March 9th, season 2, Kung Fu. Rob Benedict Free, since season 1.
Not starring. Still holding out hope. I haven't heard no yet. So,
hey, man, if the show gets picked up, it's got Rob Benedict written all. Season three's got Benedict
you
written all over.
You said that last year. You said that for season two.
Hey, you went from no auditions in season one
yeah.
to an audition in season two.
Uh-huh.
That's you like true. That rate of
it's,
progress?
It's the Rob Benedict career, just slowly inching forward.
Yeah, man. You're the pot roast of performers. It's a nice slow cook.
And then when I'm finally done is when I take my last breath.
Like you, it's just potatoes and carrots in that bowl.
Grandpa, you made
you,
it.
You've
been nominated. I'd like to think.
One thing I want to say as we go, before we go, funny podcast, always great. Just quick sad note, crushed by the loss of Ivan Reitman. Just crushed yeah, by yeah. his passing.
Yeah.
There, his movies were as formative for me as R.E.M. was for music. Absolutely. I loved Ivan Reitman movies.
Yeah.
His comedies are unbelievable. And, you know, in my life, I've gotten to know his son, Jason, really well. And mm-hmm. Jason's a fantastic human being as well.
Yeah.
As well as a remarkable filmmaker. And just as a parent, I've been moved over the last 6, 7 months, 8 months, year, watching Ivan Reitman and Jason Reitman team up on Ghostbusters Afterlife, and they go on promotional tours together, and you see him in interviews, and it's just like, ah, that's so cool.
Yeah.
And at once, this is a horrible loss for the Reitman family and for entertainment lovers everywhere. The plus side is, I feel for my buddy, how great that you got to do that with your dad.
Yeah.
How great that you had that experience.
Yeah.
That this moment isn't riddled with, oh man, but we were gonna,
yeah,
and I thought we might someday,
yeah,
like those sentences aren't part of the
yeah.
mourning process, because they did, and they did it remarkably well.
Yeah.
And it's and that's, the film is great, Ghostbusters Afterlife, but more importantly, I think the experience those two had making that film is, I mean, invaluable, and rare is an understatement. So my condolences to the Reitman family.
Absolutely.
And if you haven't seen a Reitman movie recently, go watch Ghostbusters. Go watch Meatballs. Go watch Animal House, which Ivan Reitman produced. Like, the list of comedies. Go watch Dave.
I mean, those were, to us, those were, you know, and again, it was a different time, but watching those on VHS and just discovering,
yep.
you know, the magic of those movies and those comedies.
There's a Meatballs line. I have stolen a Meatballs line that I use all the time. And when I say this, you probably have gone, oh my God, I've heard you say that. And it's a Meatballs line. So it's my tribute to Ivan Reitman. Is that early on, Bill Murray's walking around and all these campers are getting off the bus. And he goes to this super attractive blonde lady. And he's like, you know who you really got to be, you know, looking out, worried about this year? Is, I can't remember the nerd character's name, but he's like, the nerd guy over there. And she goes, are you kidding? He couldn't wake me up with a trumpet and a drum. And I've used that line, like, he couldn't wake you up with a trumpet and a drum. I thought that was the funniest line. It
speaks your language.
11, and I still think it's funny.
That's hilarious.
And Bill Murray, he was the first guy to put Bill Murray in a starring role in a movie.
Oh, man.
So if you like Bill Murray as an actor,
I haven't seen
Ivan
Meatballs.
Reitman kicked that off.
Yeah, I haven't seen Meatballs lately, but that movie, I loved that movie. I thought that was he's so the ultimate Bill Murray in that movie.
No, it just doesn't matter speech.
It just doesn't matter, yeah.
It's so great, that movie. It just doesn't matter, because all the really good-looking girls are still going to go out with the guys from Camp Mohawk.
It just doesn't matter.
It just doesn't matter. You're walking, people are starving in foreign lands, and you're walking out of here with a sombrero full of peanuts. Like, I can go through that movie. It's a classic. Again, the voice, the comic voice, the gentle hand of Ivan Reitman, and his comedies always had a heart.
Yeah.
There's a whole through line in Meatballs about the young man trying to find himself uh-huh. and learning to run and Bill Murray training him. Like, there's always a heart to an Ivan Reitman story,
yeah.
and that's what separates them from just your basic go for the joke
yeah.
and end with the joke comedies.
Absolutely.
They were smart,
yeah,
and they were meaningful, and I just was moved by his passing, and I wanted to bring it up.
Well, this episode dedicated to the Reitman family and thoughts going out. Absolutely. Go see an Ivan Reitman movie.
Do it. That's the... You know, Jason posted something. It's like, if you want to honor my dad, go laugh at one of his movies. And I say we all go do that.
That's a great thought.
Ladies and gentlemen, Richard Spade here.
Go get him, Rich. I'm Rob Benedict.
I'll see ya. Yeah, Rich Spade here, and just me. I'm going to go work on this show. You're going to go write the Supernatural In and Now theme song that'll be slotted in here.
Supernatural Then and Now.
Bob and Rich, they watch a show. They report back like they're in the know.
Supernatural Then and Now.
It's their first time, won't be the last. So check it out where you listen to podcasts.
Maybe someday.
Right, okay. I see what you're getting at. Okay, got it.
And you guys, everybody, have a great one. Have a great week. And we'll see you again next week.
Alrighty.
Cheers.
See you, man.
It's Bye. King's Car.